Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear viewers, in the previous session, I pointed out some of the important questions which arose in my mind as I researched to the subject of the history of the collection and transmission of the Quran. These questions I have pointed out in detail in my last talk. And today, in today's session, I should like to point out some of the important works on the history of the Quran. And these works, obviously, are indispensable to any student of the history of the Quran. In my own study, when I was going through these works, I was really impressed by the way this material was presented in these works, and it merits separate attention. It was indeed a very fascinating study, and I'd like to point out in particular the traditional approach as has been enshrined in some of the Ulumul Quran books. They are known to almost every student of the Quran, and they are not my primary content of introduction at the moment, but I still would like to point out that four very important books are indispensable to any student of the history of the Quran who would like to study the traditional view of the collection and transmission history of the Quran. The primary and the foremost of these books is Fununul Afnan fi Uyuni Ulumil Quran by Ibn al-Jawzi of the 5th or 6th century. And then we have Al-Murshidul Wajiz by Abu Shamma. It's also a very, very, both these works are very concise in their introduction. But two later books have complemented their conciseness, as they are much more comprehensive, they are multi-volume works. So one of them is Al-Burhan fi Ulum al-Quran by Badruddin Zarkashi, and the other one is Al-Itqan fi Ulum al-Quran by Jalaluddin Suyuti. So together, these four books of the classical period, I would say, are very important compendiums in which a student of the Quran will find important information regarding the collection and transmission history. Now, I would also like to point out that in recent years, there have been some other efforts as well in which these books have been relied upon, and also some original content has been presented. And amongst them, I would like to point out Manahilul Irfan by Zarqani, Dr. Mustafa Zarqani. And also a book of similar importance is by Dr. Muhammad Mustafa Azmi's History of the Quranic Text. And it also compares the history of the Quranic text between the biblical era and the Quran. So it compares the history of the Quranic text with the Old Testament and the New Testament history. So these two are also very important. And furthermore, I should also like that in the Shiite strand of Muslims, two very important contributions and very substantive contributions, I would say, have also been made. The first of them is a multi-volume book by Ayatullah Muhammad Hadi Marifa, and it is called At-Tamheed fi Ulum al-Quran. It is also a very, 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 very comprehensive book which covers the most aspects of Quranic sciences, and in particular, the history and collection and the Qiraat sciences of the Quran as well. Another very important work which has recently surfaced, it is basically in Persian, but has been translated in other languages as well. It is called Tarikhul Quran by Dr. Mahmoud Ramiar, another Persian. Very, very, very comprehensive work on the Quran. And he has encompassed almost everything on the topic, and he has presented some new material as well vis-a-vis the Shiite discourse. Now, besides these books, which basically present the history of the Quranic text, its collection, its transmission, the Qiraat, a couple of other works also need mention, and they relate to the history of the Arabic language and also to manuscript studies, because both these topics are also central to the history of the text of the Quran, because written texts were compiled very earlier on in the times of the Prophet, and therefore the way these texts existed and the way the old manuscripts have existed or continue to exist today is also central to the study of the history of the Quran. So Salahuddin al-Munajjid, his Dirasat fi Tarikh al-Khatt al-Arabi, is a very important work in this regard. And Dr. Abdul Hayy Farmavi's Rasm al-Mushaf wa Naqtuhu is another important work, because this work actually introduces the script of the Quran and its orthographical science. A work of exceptional importance is Dr. Ghanim Quduri's Rasm al-Mushaf, Dirasatun Lughviyatun Tarikhiyatun. And these three works also are very important vis-a-vis, as I said, the script of the Quran and its history. Now, viewers, I would also like to introduce some of the efforts which have been made in recent times by people who have critically reviewed the history of the Quran and its various issues. And when I say critical approach, I refer in particular to people who have evaluated the text and the isnad of the narratives of the collection and transmission of the Quran. And I would like to point out that there have been some very important endeavors and efforts which have been made in this regard. And three particular people I'd like to introduce specially, and I'll also read out a very short introduction of their biographies because they might not be very well known to the English reader. The first of them is Abdul Latif Rahmani. Now, let me just read out very briefly his bio data or his resume. And he has written a book called Tarikhul Quran, in which he has challenged the existing narratives regarding the collection of the Quran and some of the other material in this regard as well. Now, Mufti Abdul Latif Rahmani, I'm just reading out a very short introduction to his life and works. He was born in 1871 in India. After receiving his early education in Islamic disciplines from Maulana Abdul Ahmad Hassan, Maulana Ahmad Hassan Khanpuri and Maulana Lutfullah, he came under the tutelage of the great scholar Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi and studied hadith with him. After his death, he became a student of Mufti Muhammad Ali Mungeri, who was the administrator of Darul Uloom al-Nadwa. So Mufti Muhammad Ali Mungeri, who was the administrator of Darul Uloom Nadwa, he became his student. He went to offer Hajj with him in 1324 Hijra and taught at the Madrasa Salatiyah in Mecca. He became the chief lecturer or the Sadr Mudarris of Darul Uloom al-Nadwa in 1899. In 1917, he was deputed as a lecturer of the Uthmaniyah University at Hyderabad in India. He died in 1959 in Aligarh. Besides Tarikhul Quran, which is the work that I'd like to introduce to you and which, inshallah, you'll be finding reference to in my later talks as well, because I have gained an abundant benefit and have cited him wherever I think he has rightly criticized this history. So this work was published, Tarikhul Quran was published in Urdu in 1919 for the first time. And besides this, his other works include a biography of Abu Hanifa by the name of Tazkiratul Azam, and this was published in 1914. He also wrote books for students on Nahav, which is syntax, and Sarf, morphology, both of these important branches of the Arabic language. Now, during his stay at Hyderabad, he wrote a commentary on Jami of Tirmizi by the name of Ashar al-Latif and a commentary on the Tarajum of Sahih al-Bukhari, which is called Lutful Bari. So he is one person I would like to introduce to my English audience. And as far as his critique itself is concerned, you'll find it being cited and quoted copiously when we move on. And inshallah, you'll find other references vis-a-vis his critique. The second person I'd like to introduce to you today is Tamanna Imadi. And he is another outstanding personality, and his area of expertise is the rijal or the isnad of a narrative. He is a very outstanding authority on rijal literature and consequently on the isnads of various narratives, and he has made some very eye-opening contributions. But at the same time, I'd also sound a word of caution to you that at some of the places where he has pointed out some critique, he has not been able to furnish sufficient evidence to support his contention. But nonetheless, at many other places, he has made some very some discoveries which are of breakthrough nature. Now, a very short introduction to him I'll just read out. And the work, actually, I should also point out, which has been of particular interest to me in my study, is his work called Jamul Quran. So he was born in 1884 in Pulwarvi, a town of the Bihar province in India. He completed a traditional education of Dars-e-Nizami. His poetry in Urdu and Persian, especially Eulogies of the Prophet, earned him the title of Hassan al-Hind from his teacher, Shah Rashid al-Haq. He was also well-versed in prosody. He was specially adept, as I said, in the science of Rijal. He died in 972 in Karachi at the ripe old age of 88 in very trying circumstances. Besides Jamal Quran, the work which I have benefited a lot, some of his other works are Imam Zuhri and Imam Tabri. This again is something which I have read and also benefited a lot, because he has presented some alternative evidence on Imam Zuhri, one of the premier compilers of hadith. Then his work on Ijaz al-Quran, and then his book called At-Talaq Marratan, and finally his work Intizar Mahdi al-Masih. So these are the three or four or five works which are of importance, and I, as I pointed out, will recite most of his book in which I agree with him, or I corroborate his research. I'll present it before you, and at the same time I shall also present some of my critique on Tamanna Imadi, in where I found that his critique was lacking enough support or evidence from our history books. The third person I'd like to introduce to you in this regard is Abul Qasim al-Khuy, a very revered Shiite authority in his own regard, and he was an exceptional person of recent times, and he made significant contribution to the study of Quran history. Now, a very short introduction to him is that he was born in Azerbaijan in 1899 and passed away in Najaf, Iraq on August 8, 1992. He was educated in the established traditional way of Shiite theology and by well-known jurists. He joined the world-renowned theological institution in the holy city of Najaf in 1912, the year he migrated from Iran. At an early age, he attained a degree of ijtihad, which bestowed on him the title of Ayatollah. So he became Ayatollah Imam Abul Qasim al-Khuy. He taught at Najaf for over 70 years. He is considered as the architect of a distinct school of thought in the principles of jurisprudence and Islamic law, and one of the leading exponents of Kalam, Rijal studies, prophetic traditions, jurisprudence, and the exegesis of the Quran. He was a prolific writer in the aforementioned disciplines, and he wrote 37 books and treatises, most of which have been published, and some of the important works of Abul Qasim al-Khuy relate to, for example, he has a multi-volume work on the Rijal sciences called Mujum Rijal al-Hadith, and I have benefited a lot while reading this book. It presents copious information on Rijal sciences, and it has summarized very efficiently some of the earlier works like the Rijal of Najashi, Ghazairi, and Kashi. So he has actually contributed a lot in this area. And the other book from which I have gained a lot of knowledge and his own approach is Al-Bayan fi Tafsir al-Quran. The first volume, which is before me, is actually has an introduction to the Quranic sciences, and he has very, very cogently and very efficiently put forth his critique on some of the material which today exists in the realm of Quranic sciences, in particular the history and history of the collection and transmission of the Quran. And viewers, no less importance is the Farahi school, which I would like to also present before you before I go on to introduce other people. So besides the three iconic personalities of Abdul Latif Rahmani, Tamanna Imadi, and Imam Abul Qasim al-Khuy, Ayatollah Imam Abul Qasim al-Khuy, I'd also like to present the scholars of the Farahi school. And I'm sure most of you are already aware of this, the Farahi school, was founded by a celebrated and exceptional scholar of the Quran, Hamiduddin Farahi. He died in 1930 in India, and then his torch of knowledge was passed on to his student, Imam Amin Ehsan Islahi, and he died in 1997, and he wrote a multi-volume tafsir of the Quran in which he applied the principles formulated by his teacher, Hamiduddin Farahi, and he died in 1997 after completing not only this work on the Quranic sciences or Quran tafsir, which is called Tadabbur-e Quran. He also wrote other books on hadith and jurisprudence and many other areas of Islamic studies. And finally, after him, Javed Ahmed Ghamidi, my own teacher, who I am honored to be a student of, he is an eminent student of Amin Ehsan Islahi, and he is currently residing in Malaysia, and he has taken up the study of Quranic sciences and of religion. And I have, as I said, been very fortunate to be his student, and I have taken a lot of guidance from him in my own research, and I cannot thank him. I don't have words to thank him for the amount of guidance that I have gained from him. But again, I have tried to remain critical of whatever guidance or whatever knowledge I gain from my teachers without blindly accepting them. I do try to weigh them in the reasons, in the scales of reason and revelation. Now, viewers, you can find information about all these three scholars on the websites which all these three scholars respectively have, and you can see their URLs being displayed before you. I would now go on to the Western scholars in this regard, and I would like to point out that very significant contributions have been made by our Western fraternity, and in the last couple of centuries, phenomenal amount of work has been done in this particular area. And I would divide, for the sake of simplicity, our Western scholars into two broad categories. So to one category belong scholars who have primarily rejected the Islamic accounts of collection and transmission of the Quran, and they have gone on to formulate their own revisionist history of the Quran, and they primarily do not rely on any texts in this regard, neither of the Quran nor of history or hadith. So this is one category. And I can also deduce important personalities of this category to you. Most important among them, as you can see, are Alfonso Mengano. He died in 1937. Then we have Günter Luling, we have Christoph Luxemburg, and then we have the French scholar Paul Casanova. So these are people who have made significant contributions. Not to forget the significant contribution of John Burton as well. So these are the scholars who have made significant contributions vis-a-vis the history of the Quran. But as I said, they are people who have rejected the primary accounts of history of the Quran. When I say primary accounts, I obviously refer to the texts. And following in their footsteps is John Wansbrough, another very illustrated and very illustrious scholar, and his two very prominent students, Michael Cook and Patricia Crone, both of them, again, very, very outstanding scholars in their own right. And I would also like to present to you the name of Dr. Fred Donner of the Chicago University. He himself is also an authority, and he has critically analyzed the views of John Wansbrough and his contemporaries in this regard. So this particular category, as I said, is the first category. And these are people who have not basically gone about evaluating the current texts of Quran history. When I say texts, I mean the Quran itself, the text of the Quran, of the hadith, and of history books. But they, as I said, have gone on to frame their own revisionist history of the Quran. And since my own approach in this regard is that I basically adhere to textual analysis, and I adhere to the school of thought in which we are, we analyze texts and then come to conclusions. So therefore, a detailed introduction to their works I might make in one of my later talks. In this second category, German scholarship outshines all their contemporaries and perhaps even people who came after them. And when I refer to the German scholarship, I in particular refer to those four famous German scholars: Theodor Noldike, his disciple and student Friedrich Schwally, his successor Gotthelf Bergstrasser, and then his own follower and successor Otto Pretzel. All four of them who authored that celebrated and magisterial work on the Quran called Geschichte des Korans in German, which bears the mark of German scholarship, thorough and very, very meticulous. It was translated in Arabic in 2004 by Georges Tamer, and I have made several references to this Arabic work because I was not able to access the original German work, but it was this Arabic work which I have read and cited in my thesis as well. And very recently, about a couple of years ago, probably in 2012, this work has also been translated by Wolfgang Behn in the English language, which I have also read. But my own citations of this outstanding work of German scholarship is primarily from Georges Tamer's Arabic translation of the Geschichte. As far as the second category is concerned, I would also like to introduce some of the other important personalities of this category. And I would also like to point out that the second category is the category whose personnel figure a lot in my research, because they are the ones who have also contributed to the textual criticism of the history of the Quran. So therefore, since the text is also something which they regard as important and the basis, so in my own study, I have cited them also wherever I have found them to be in conformity or wherever they have convinced me in my own study. And primarily these important people, I would like to point out, one of the most illustrious of them is Dr. William Montgomery Watt. His introduction to the Quran is a very primary text on the Western approach vis-a-vis textual analysis in current times. He was a Scotsman and the student of a very celebrated scholar of the Quran, Dr. Richard Bell. So he actually revised Dr. Richard Bell's book on the introduction of the Quran, and the revised edition is now being published. Viewers would also benefit if they read the original by Dr. Richard Bell as well, who is the teacher of Dr. William Montgomery Watt. The other person who has made significant contributions in this regard is Regis Blachier, the Frenchman. He has been educated in North Africa, in Morocco, and he has also made a significant contribution by actually translating the Quran in French, and has presented his views on the collection and transmission history of the Quran. And viewers, we cannot forget Dr. Arthur Jeffrey, the Australian professor of Semitic languages, who remained in Cairo and then in Columbia University, where he was a professor till his death in 1959. His famous book, Materials for the History of the Text of the Quran and the Old Codices, is also a very, very important and significant work, which no student of the Quran can ignore when he's studying this topic. Now, besides these very important contributions, there are some of the other areas which I'd like to point out, and in particular, one of the areas is the study of script or manuscript study. So I would like to point out three very important names in this regard who have been very prominent in this study. Nabia Abbott of the Chicago University, her multi-volume works on the Arabic papyri. He is also significant in this regard. And then we have Francois de Roche, the Frenchman. His work on Islamic codicology and the Qurans of the Umayyads, which has been recently published, is also indispensable to any student of the Quran. And finally, Beatrice Grundler's book, which relates to the history of the Arabic script from the Nabataean to the Islamic era, is also very significant in this regard. And all these three people have made very prominent contribution in the history of the Quran vis-a-vis the script of the Quran, the script of the Arabic language, and also manuscript study, which has formed a primary, which has received a primary impetus from our Western scholars in this regard. So I would also like to point out that there has been significant efforts made in the methodology itself, and people like Joan Boyle have made significant efforts in developing a new method of critically analyzing hadith. And although he's skeptical of almost all hadith, and in line with his two illustrious predecessors, Ignaz Goldziher and Joseph Schacht, he has actually developed a new methodology of analyzing hadith. And according to him, there is a certain link, or the common link, who is the person who is responsible for fabricating a narrative. Of course, he has a very very minute methodology of analyzing these things. But again, as this is not my topic of study at the moment. I'm just alluding to the fact that Western scholars have also made significant contributions in the field of historical criticism, which itself is something to which I would like to adhere to in the traditional sense. But I would also not undermine or underscore the importance of the works of or researches of current or recent Western scholars. I would also like to point out that people like Harold Motzke and Gregor Schuller are the ones who have criticized Joan Boyle, and they are traditional historicists, I would say, and their traditional historical approach is quite different and something which I would condone a lot, but although I have not adopted it in my own research and have stuck to the traditional Muslim tools of historical criticism, but I do value Motsky's and Schuller's contributions. Viewers, I would also like to present before you a very significant PhD work which has now been published as a separate book, and this is by Shadi Hikmat Nasir. He did his PhD from Harvard in 2010, and subsequently it was published by the name of The Transmission of the Variant Readings of the Quran. So this is a very important work I would like to refer every student of the history of the Quran to, and I would like to draw his or her attention that this is something very worthy and very well researched out, and researchers of the Quran will benefit a lot if they go through this thesis now published as a book. And finally, viewers, I would also like to thank my two very able colleagues and companions who have helped me a lot and guided me a lot in my own research, besides my teacher, Javed Ahmed Ghamidi. Two of these people who have prominently helped me, who have really given some new ideas, who have corrected a lot of my mistakes. One of them is Ammar Khan Nasir, and the other one is Iftikhar Tabassum. So I am really indebted to both these gentlemen for guiding me and for correcting my mistakes. And finally, viewers, before I close this topic, I would like to present before you a prayer which I made when I began this journey of analyzing the history of the Quran. And I pray to God, and I present this prayer before you because this is something which is my pleadings before God, and this is something I'd like to present the way it came out of my heart before you. So it's entitled A Prayer, and it reads something like this. O God, guide me to that needle in the haystack and to that key that opens centuries-old locked doors. Endow me with the determination to leave no stone unturned, no effort unexpended. Grant me the strength and resolve to tread, travel, and unravel. And if I am not able to make any headway, give me the courage to rejoice in my failure. For this failure would still be a success, as I could say to you, I tried with all my mind, with all my heart, and with all my soul. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.